Look at Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. And I told Brother Hammonds that since I'm not going to be here on Wednesday, I put my special request in early. So 3:28 there. I was exciting. Amen. Don't you want that mountain that God's given you? God's going to give you something this morning from His Word. I pray it's an encouragement to you. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Continuing on our series, Follow Me. This time about following on in the ministry of Jesus. But this morning's message actually does not have anything to do with Jesus this morning, but has to do with the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And this morning we're going to look at how a lost king, a wicked woman, and a preacher all fit into the same message. So we're going to see that in Mark chapter 6. Now, I told you a little bit earlier about the title of the message this morning. And earlier on, a couple of weeks ago, Brother Hammonds asked me, you know, if you were away on your trip and something happened to you, you know, how would we get things done? So we took care of that. And then making sure everything's all squared away in case, you know, the plane goes down. They do happen, you know. Well, I am flying on Southwest. I'm not going to sit in the exit row. I promise you that. But anyway, I'm going to be sitting in the front probably, you know, because you know what the benefit is if you're sitting in the front, right? You're the first to go, you know, if it goes down. Anyway, but thinking about that and was studying this, and this synoptically, this is the next event after what we looked at last week, was the execution of John the Baptist. And so thinking about that is the title of the message today, is Killing Off the Preacher. Killing Off the Preacher. Now, I have not received a death threat, that's not why I'm preaching this message, and I do intend to come back next week, okay? I'm just letting you know that, but I thought it was kind of interesting how that all kind of goes together. But we're going to find here in this account John the Baptist. Now, we know John the Baptist was a little bit of a different kind of a man. He was a prophet of God. He was called by God from his mother's womb, just as Isaiah and Jeremiah was. And so we see here that he was a Nazarite as well. John the Baptist, if you heard him preach, he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He just told the truth how it was, and he was very interesting to look at. The Bible says that he was clothed in camel's hair, he lived in the wilderness, and he ate locusts and honey, and he was a Nazarite as well, so he had long hair. We know the Bible says it's a shame for man to have long hair. The ladies are to have long hair, not the guys. But as a Nazarite, they were not to cut their hair as a sign that being sanctified and set apart for a special use by God. And this man was greatly used by God as the forerunner of Christ. He was preparing the way for Christ's ministry. He was preaching the gospel, and he was baptizing many. And we know that Andrew, that we saw he was called to follow Jesus Christ, and he went to his brother Peter, Simon, and said, "We have found the Messiah." Now, he was one of John's disciples. Several of the apostles were John's disciples, and they went off to follow Christ. And you know what? John the Baptist didn't get upset about that. You know why? That's his whole purpose in coming, to point people to Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the job of every single preacher, is to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen? Not to point them to the pocketbook, not to point them anywhere else, but to point them to Jesus Christ. And also, it's the job of every preacher to preach the truth, even when it's hard. And that's what John the Baptist did in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 17. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, read down through verse number 20 this morning. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 17. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not, for Herod feared John." Now verse 20 is important. "Knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly." Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the message this morning, that, dear Lord, we would learn something, that we would also be understanding of what you're trying to teach us today, how important your men are. There are many preachers and evangelists and missionaries that are dear to our hearts. They're your men. They're used by you. Dear Lord, I pray that we would learn something today about them and about maybe some who have been called into the ministry that are training or getting finished with their school, young person, whoever it may be, that they're feeling a calling to ministry. Maybe even some young men in here today that are feel called to preach and to be a pastor or evangelist or missionary, Lord, that they would take to heart what they hear today. Dear Lord, I pray that you give me the right words to say and that you give me the clarity of thought and to say the things that I ought and to withhold from the things I ought not say. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Killing off the preacher. John the Baptist was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher that didn't shy away from the truth. He was wholly sold out to God. And we see a quote by D.L. Moody when he was talking to somebody. And he said, "What it would be amazing." I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but it went with the idea of this: the world has yet to see what one man sold out to God could do for God. Amen. And he endeavored to be that man. But I tell you what, the world has seen, because John the Baptist was wholly sold out to God. Amen. We can see that. He was whole hog in. He was serving God. He didn't have a place to live. He lived in the wilderness. He was a preacher. That's all he did. He was a forerunner of Christ. That was his life's work. He wasn't married, from what we know, he wasn't. But he was a preacher. And he made enemies. Pharisees didn't like him because he called them what they were. He called out their sin. And you know, preachers that don't call out sin, I don't know if you can really call them preachers, because this is what John the Baptist did with Herod. Now, Herod was king. Herod the Tetrarch. So why is it called that? Because at that time, the Roman government had split the nation of Israel into three parts. And one was ruled by Herod. One was ruled by Philip, his half-brother. The other was ruled by his other brother. I'm trying to remember the name here. I put a little later on in my notes. It's Herod Artiles, which is his full brother. So they three ruled, if you will, under Roman occupation. They were handpicked by the Romans, and they were under the watchful eye of Rome. So what had happened is that Herod Antipas, and he decided that he liked his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, and so he took her to be his wife. We don't see what his brother thought about that, but I'm sure he wasn't real happy about it. But Herodias also was party to this, and this is adultery. Very clearly defined in the Bible. This is adultery, and we know that John the Baptist wasn't going to let that go, especially as a leader of Israel, as the king of Israel was supposed to do many things. And one of them, he was supposed to keep the law of God. Herod claimed to be a Jew. He was of Jewish descent, though his father was actually the king of Arabia. So he wasn't a full Jew, but he was the king of Israel at this time. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 2, and the first point this morning is we see a lost king's sin. A lost king's sin. There's no indication that Herod was saved or ever got saved. And the end of this Herod, now you'll notice there's four different Herods in the Bible in the New Testament. There's Herod the Great, who tried to kill Jesus. That was Herod Antipas' father. Then Herod and his brothers ruled Israel, and then his nephew, Herod Agrippa, came in after him. And then there is another Herod. So they took the name Herod as part of the dynasty. That wasn't really their name. It's like taking the name Pharaoh. And so that was of their dynasty. But there was something that all kings of Israel, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 12, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 12, we see many commands in the Old Testament for kings, and that they were to do certain things. And one of the greatest things a king could do in Israel was to keep the law of God. Proverbs 16, verse number 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. For the throne is established by righteousness, by doing right. God sets up those and takes down those based on whether they do right in His sight or not. And I'm sure John the Baptist was quoting this verse and said, it is wickedness for the king to commit adultery with his brother's wife. It is not lawful. It wasn't according to the law of God for him to be allowed to do this. And John the Baptist wasn't afraid to say it. But this wasn't only that. Look at Luke chapter 3. He did also many other wicked things in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 19. He did many other wicked things. Doesn't say what they are, but, and by the way, we don't need to know what all they are. Amen. Just like in our world today, there's a lot of wicked things that go on. We don't need to know and hear all about them. Amen. Amen. That we know it's there. Herod was a wicked king. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 19. And Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him, meaning John the Baptist, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. So John the Baptist not only preached against this one particular thing, this one really got to Herodias, and she wanted to kill him, she wanted him dead, but John was a well-known man, was a prophet of God, and Herod didn't want to kill him because he knew he was God's man. But we see that he did other things, and John the Baptist told him that there was other things that he was doing that were wicked and wrong. He was calling out the sin, not to just make Herod feel bad, but the goal of every preacher is to call out sin so that people may turn from it. That was his goal in that. His goal was to see him restored. And Matthew Henry was very, the commentator, I read a bit about this. And he said that he was followed the scriptures because it said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. In that it would seem that John the Baptist and Herod had an intercourse, had a friendship, if you will, because we see that in Mark chapter 6, he said that he saw him, he took pleasure in hearing him, in hearing the preaching. And also, let's look down here back at Mark chapter 6 and verse number 20. This tells us something about Herod. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. So he watched him, he saw it. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. He did many things. We don't know exactly what that meant, but it's possible that he tried to change some of the things that John preached about. He tried to change some things. He tried to bring himself into where the law said. We don't know exactly what that means, but that gives us an idea of the thought of what Herod thought of John. Even though Herod was a sinner, he liked to hear what John the Baptist had to say. It tells us what Herod thought of John. He knew that John was a prophet sent from God. He feared John because he knew that God was with John. He knew the character and testimony of John. He was impressed by him. He observed him. He saw the way he lived. He saw what he preached. He saw that he wasn't a hypocrite. He saw that he had a testimony. He saw him preaching on many occasions and loved to hear a good sermon. He also changed some things in his life. He was glad to hear him preach and teach the word. And there are a lot of people in churches today, just because you come to church and you sit down doesn't make you saved. Just because you come to church and you like to hear a good sermon, you go to evangelistic meetings, go to revival meetings, you love good preaching, you love to hear the truth, doesn't mean that you're saved. Amen? A lot of churches full of a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ. They know of Him, they believe in Him, but they haven't trusted Him to save them from their sin. Is that you today? Herod was like that. He liked to hear the preaching. I don't know whether it was entertaining to him or people sometimes like to hear the truth. Amen? They're tired of everyone else. Perhaps he had a lot of people around him, usually many kings did. They had a lot of advisors and always trying not to offend the king, always tiptoeing around the king, always tiptoeing around the truth, always, and here so many people being, maybe he was tired of the political correctness of his day. He just liked to hear it how it was. He liked to hear the truth. He liked to hear the truth of the gospel. There are a lot of people in churches like that. They love to come and hear a preacher preach. They enjoy hearing the truth, though they do not practice it. They will even say amen. I'm sure Herod said a few himself, and maybe even a praise God, but it didn't make him saved. It all changed when John preached against his pet sin. Oh, the sin that hit close to home. The sin of him taking his brother Philip's wife. That all changed when John preached against that. Oh, that really cut to the heart. It made Herodias angry. You know what? I think all of us men here, how many were married? Amen. How many are married in here today? You're married. Praise the Lord. When your wife gets angry, it's not a good thing, is it? Amen. There's a peace in the house, and when a woman, your wife's angry about something or upset about something, it doesn't even have to be at you. Amen. It doesn't be about something. It can cause some problems in the house, right? And Herod was having, and she was not, and by the way, Herodias was not a saved woman. She was lost. She was not a godly woman. She was wicked. She was akin to Jezebel. And the comparison there. And we see that she was furious that John the Baptist, and maybe she would come to Herod like this. Herod, how do you let him? He is just a man, a crazy man. He's just a crazy preacher. You're the king. How dare you let him talk to you like that? You should take his head right off his shoulders. I hate him. He needs to die. He needs to be gotten rid of. He's the scourge of Israel. How dare you let him speak to you like that? But you know what? Herod wouldn't kill him. And we see that he wouldn't do it for her sake because another passage that he feared the people. He knew there was going to be a problem if he did it, but he didn't want to. He didn't want to. He liked him, even though he did preach against his pet sin. So instead of killing him, he put him in prison. Well, that would suffice his wife. No, it didn't. And we're going to read on here in a minute. It didn't suffice his wife. She wanted to kill John right then and there. Herod would not allow it. He was afraid of losing face. There are people like that sitting in church pews everywhere that, and they say, well, preacher, you can preach on heaven. We love to hear about heaven. And we love to hear about heaven. Amen. We love to hear about where we're going if we're saved, especially people that think they're saved. They love hearing about that. They love hearing about heaven. As a preacher, you can preach on sin. Go ahead and preach on drunkenness and preach on drugs and preach on pornography. But preacher, you better not preach on my sin. Oh, you better not preach on what makes me happy. Because if you do, man, we're going to have a problem. Because you're going to make an enemy out of me. Before you know it, you're killing off the preacher. Make an enemy out of me. I've seen it happen in churches. You know, some of the nicest, sweetest people, they come to church and they come in and they're so lovely people. And, you know, they dress nice and everything. And then the preacher gets up and preaches one message. Man, gets their nose all out of joint. Because he preached on something that they do, that they like, and that they think is okay, but they just showed him. He used the Word of God, and he cut to the quick. Instead of getting right with God, then after that, they come in the next Sunday morning. They come in. They sit down. And they're like this. Cross their arms. And they do this. And I've seen it happen. They come in, they do this. You know, by the way, there's a lot of body language. There's a lot of things there. When you sit there with your arms crossed and say, you're not telling me anything. Stick your nose up in the air. That's pride. That's right there. Pride right there. You know what the Bible says? That's an abomination to have a proud look. Like, that's up. I've closed my ears up. I'm not listening to you anymore. Because you touched on what I like to do. You know what? All right, that shows something that happened before. There was an attitude problem. Here's why. Instead of saying, oh, Lord, forgive me for doing wrong, I didn't know. You know what happens with those people? They knew it was wrong. They just convinced themselves it was right anyway. Then when they heard it, it was a problem. And Herod knew it was wrong what he did. Herodias knew it was wrong what she did. They knew it. But they just didn't like hearing about it. Amen? And there's some people that do wrong, they don't like hearing about it. And the preacher tells them so that they can live right and do right for God. Not to grind them into the dirt just for the sake of doing it, but just to show them that they're in need of something. That they're in need of reconciliation with God. That they're in need of salvation. Did John do it to the purpose that this is not lawful? He said, Herod, you're the king. You're the leader. You're the example. You can't do this in God's nation. In God's place of leadership. This isn't right. You have to do what's right and be an example to the people. But Herodias didn't care about that. John's message never changed. What influenced Herod in this? Before you know it, he was killing off a preacher. But how? How did he get there? He loved hearing John. They might have even had a friendship. We don't know. But how did he get to the place of taking off John's head? Well, let's read on. So we see, first, a lost king's sin. Second, a faithful preacher's message. You know how the saying goes that behind every good man there's a good woman. Right? And so that's great. Is that Eleanor Roosevelt that said that? I don't know. I think so. Not sure. But this saying is also sometimes true. Behind every sinful man is an evil woman egging him on. And that's what happened with Herod. And that was true of Ahab, wasn't it? Oh, Jezebel said, you need to have that vineyard. It's yours. Go and kill the guy and take it for yourself. This was true of Herodias. She was party to this adultery. She was married to Herod's half-brother. And she decided that she liked him better than her husband. And this was also another interesting thing, is that Herodias' daughter, which we're going to see in just a moment, had married her cousin, Herod Agrippa, later on. Anyway, it's interesting. It's a very convoluted history. I encourage it, if you want to study it, you're ready for a headache. But anyway, but she was consenting to the great sin of adultery against her husband with his half-brother. She had no fear of God. She had no fear of sin. She had no fear for the law of God. She had no concern for that. John the Baptist, as a preacher of righteousness, told Herod plainly that this was against God's law. Herodias did not like that she was rebuked for her sin. There's people that aren't being rebuked for their sin. Herod didn't like it for being rebuked for his sin. Herodias wanted him dead. Or maybe Herod didn't like it, but Herod wasn't going to kill him because he feared God a little bit. He had a little bit of fear of God in him still, but she didn't. He preached, thus saith the Lord, even when it was unpopular. You know, we need more preachers like this in the world today. Not just America, but everywhere. That they're just going to preach what God says. Amen? Because we have a lot of preachers that they preach what the culture wants to hear. And prominent Christian college. My wife knew this was going to come up. But anyway, prominent Christian college that I know personally went there and changed some rules and things, not a big deal, but the philosophy behind it was this. As president of the college got up and talked to the people and said, we're going to do this. Is this okay with you that we do this? You know, can we agree to this? Is it okay? Can we agree to this and get along? And is this okay with you? I'm thinking, I said, sir, you're the president of a college, like 4,000 people. Doesn't matter if it's okay with them. But that's the old way of thinking. That's not the new way of thinking. That's not what our generation likes here. You know what? Because my generation doesn't like to be told about their sin. And you know why? Because I'm one of them. Trust me, I don't like to be told about my sin. You know, I don't think you. Here's a secret. Nobody does. Nobody does, because it goes against our flesh. It goes against our nature. But you know what? You need to get down and thank God that there's people in your life that will tell you so that you can fix it. Amen? So we can be right with God. So we can be blessed by God. So we can be used by God. Oh, to be used of God. Amen? To be used by Him to win souls. And if we're doing right, God can use us. He's not afraid of preaching. One preacher, he was not sensitive to the culture that he lived in. He called out sin. And he preached that we'll preach the truth no matter the cost. ones that would preach the truth no matter what people say about him. John was an odd preacher. I told you about him. He was a Nazarite, had long hair, was a very interesting looking preacher, but it didn't matter what he looked like, didn't matter how he talked, it didn't matter anything except what he had to say. And it was straight from God. It's amazing. And perfect. There was a man from God, sent from God, named John. Think about that. There was a man sent from God. That's what he was. And in pulpits all over America, missionaries, evangelists, they're the same. They're men sent by God to do His work. I mean, it's exciting when I see missionaries come in. Amen? I'm excited. Because they're being sent. They're sent by God to go to these places. But you know why John was not concerned with his camel's hair clothes? He had a leather girdle too, and he had a locust and honey. He lived off the land. He lived out in the wilderness. He lived out in the desert. You know why he didn't care about those things? He didn't care about his clothes. I mean, he didn't have the latest tie on. You know, he didn't have the latest polka dot shirt. He didn't have the latest suit. He didn't have the latest hairdo. And by the way, when you see preachers having the latest hairdo, the latest clothes and everything, that tells you something. Well, that tells you? Maybe not necessarily, but that tells you something, that they're sensitive to the culture around them, and that can be a bad thing. Gotta be careful of that. Sometimes not. Not always. Is it, Pastor, are you saying? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it sometimes shows that. You gotta be careful. Think about that. But he wasn't sensitive to the culture around him. And you know why he didn't really care about those things? Because his home was not here. His home was in heaven. His place was in heaven with his Lord. And he was serving him with all he had down here. He wasn't concerned with the entrapments of this life. He was just concerned about serving the Lord who sent him, who called him out to be a Nazarite. From the time he was a child, he was told that this is what God has for you to do. Man, that's exciting. And he did it. His home was in heaven. Preachers need to spend more time getting to know their God and their eternal home than they do the stock market or other things that are going on. If they preach the truth and righteousness, then they make themselves the enemies of the devil. Make themselves the enemies. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. We know that. But also friendship with God is enmity against the world and the devil. We've become an enemy. The enemies of this world. The enemies of wicked people who reject the truth. Their life may not last very long, but they did not waste their time. Amen. There's still martyrs in our world today. There's still preachers all over this world that are preaching the truth, and they're dying for it. They're dying for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All their life wasn't wasted, though. Their time wasn't wasted because they weren't afraid. They would rather have Jesus be pleased with them than the other crowd. Do you know that only the Apostle John, this is not John the Baptist, a different John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John was the only disciple that died a natural death? All the others were martyred. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Thomas was speared to death in Ethiopia. All the others. Now, we know, this is a pastor, we don't see it in the Bible. True, we don't. We see that through Josephus and others, historians, of what happened to them. All the rest of the 11. James was beheaded. We see that in the Bible. The leader of the church at Jerusalem, he was beheaded. He was killed. Plus many, many, many more in the early church. But John's message never changed. We don't know for sure if he knew he was going to die a martyr's death. We don't know. John's message never changed. It was the truth of God's word. Herodias did not like or want the truth. She wanted to destroy God's man. That brings us to the last point, a wicked woman's plot. A wicked woman's plot. She wanted John dead. So let's look back at Mark chapter 6 and beginning verse number 21. So we see the plot that Herodias formed. If I can't make my husband do it, then maybe I can trick him into doing it. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, don't you love how the Bible says that? Of the said Herodias came in, same one, making sure the same one. And danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. In verse 26, and the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. So right here, Herod would not kill him. But now she sent, Herodias sent her daughter to dance sensually before a bunch of men, which is wickedness in and of itself, to do that. And she wanted him dead. And she wanted his head on a silver platter. That's where that saying comes from. Something on a silver platter, that's where it comes from. A silver charger. Charger is a plate with a cover on it, like you serve meal at. That's what he wanted. That's what she wanted. She wanted his head. She wanted him dead. She wanted to see his head so she could admire. See, I succeeded over God and his man. He had taken a stand against God's man. Here's something. Never ever stand in the way of God's man when he's walking in God's way. Don't ever stand in the way of any missionary, evangelist, or preacher. If he's doing right and following God, then keep your hands and your mouth off God's man. That means pastor, evangelist, missionary, because God takes it very seriously. Look at Luke chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now, we just looked at something about Herod in Luke chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, we're going to look at something else in Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 3, verse number 20. Now, we saw in verse 19, but Herod the Tetrarch being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's sake, and for all the evils which Herod had done. Now, verse 20, added yet this above all. So above all the other wicked things, above his adultery, above all the other evil things that he did, that he shut up John in prison. Not that he killed him, but that he just putting him in prison was the worst thing. Above the adultery and everything else, he took into his hands God's man and shut him up. And stood against God's man. And this happened to Moses. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. In that, we saw that Aaron, the brother of Moses, and Miriam, Moses' sister, that they would lead, Moses was the leader, Aaron was a high priest, and Miriam was also used of God in helping lead. But then we see in verse number 1 of Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Always remember, when you start speaking against God's man, the Lord hears it. When you start speaking against your Sunday school teacher, you start speaking against those who God has placed in your life, when you start speaking against your parents, the Lord hears it. That's a fearful thing when the Lord hears it. And what happened is they were saying, well, you know what? What makes Moses so important? We are used by God too. What makes him? Who made him the leader? God did. They forgot that. Verse number 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, and said, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And that's a fearful thing. They got called to the tabernacle to speak with God. He called all, just those three. Come, I want to talk to you. Now, some of you have come from maybe a larger family. I remember when my brother and my sister and I, my parents didn't know necessarily, or maybe we all did something wrong or something happened. We all three got called downstairs or got called to the bedroom. You, all three of you, come here. We knew something bad was going to happen. And I don't know what was going through their minds, but they knew something good wasn't going to happen. And so we see what happens. God calls them forward. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so what is going on here? He's saying of prophets usually get spoken to in dreams and visions, but Moses had a special relationship with God, and that God spoke to him personally. Moses didn't get the law of God in a dream. He went up into Mount Sinai, and God spoke it to him. Spoke to him directly. He had a special relationship, and he's telling them, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Because of the special job I have for him, the special leadership I have for him, how I have used him. Why were you not afraid to speak against my man, my servant? Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. Verse number 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and she, behold, she was leprous. She was stricken with leprosy. You know what kind of preacher Moses was? He didn't say, well, too bad for you. You got what you deserved. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. She was judged for her speaking against God's servant. God's judgment always comes speaking against God's man. It always comes. Herod acted against God's man. Put him in prison first. Secondly, by taking his life, he made a foolish promise. He was possibly drunk, probably was. Made a foolish promise, and there was a saying, under the half of the kingdom. This was something that was done in the Old Testament as well. It was a way of saying, anything you ask, I'll give it to you. Until the half of the kingdom, it was an expression. They said, anything you want, you've got it. It was like that kind of cliche expression. And she went to her mother, so this shows you that it was a plot. She sent her daughter with this in mind. Hey, if he promised you anything, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. And he made the promise, and she said, I want the head of John the Baptist. He had made a foolish promise. But he had all this people in front of him. He had made a promise as king. He had all his advisors, all his chiefs. He had his reputation on the line. And instead of doing the right thing, saying, no, I'm not going to kill off God's man, he says, I can't lose face. Oh, well. Off with his head. Executioner, go cut it off. Instead of doing that which was right, and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. He did the wrong thing. And added murder to the list of sins he had already committed. Remember this. When one has gone down the path of sin, one sin becomes much like the next. He had already gone down the path of doing other wickedness. The Bible doesn't describe it. He had already gone down the path of adultery. He had already gone down the path of putting John in jail. And now killing him. Well, oh well, just one sin like the next. It doesn't matter. It did matter. Herod will stand before God one day, not as a king, but as a human being, and answer for what he did to John. And interestingly enough, Herod ended up losing his kingdom, being exiled. His nephew conspired with Caligula, who was also known as Nero, who was a wicked and abominable person, and he was exiled to an island for the rest of his days. Lost his kingdom. Lost it all. all of us will stand before God and give account of what we do, we did good or bad. Now, let me ask you a question. Will you stand there and give account how you destroyed your family's faith in the preacher? You know what some families do? They go on the way home, they have preachers too. Roast preacher! And you know what the dad said? You know what, honey? I just didn't agree with what pastor said today. I just don't agree with it. You know, I don't believe that. And he said that, you know what, I think he could have said that differently and done this differently. And you know, I just didn't agree with it. And you know what happens when your kids get older? They stop going to church. You know why? He destroyed their faith in the preacher. He destroyed their faith in the missionary. He destroyed their faith in the evangelist. You know, when the evangelist gets up here and he preaches a message and you get in the car, well, I don't believe that. What are you doing? You're undoing God's work in other people's lives, especially your children. Will you stand before God and give account for that? Will you stand there and give account how you would not cast out your pet sin when the preacher preached on it? And you know what? I don't know what sins are represented here today. I have no idea. You know what? Some people say, Pastor, how did he know that? Someone told on me. No. Holy Spirit told on you. But I don't know who it is or what it is. I just preach what the Lord tells me to preach. And wherever it lands, it lands. Amen? You know, when people come up to me and ask me, the preacher, you know, were you preaching that message for me? Were you preaching at me? You know what I tell people? If the shoe fits, wear it. I don't know what was going on in your life. I didn't do it on purpose. But if God convicted you about it, you need to take care of it. Amen? God, Pastor Harvey used to say, if God brings it up, we're going to bring it out. We'll stand before God. When the preacher preaches on something and we know it's sin, but we won't cast it out. That's what Herod wouldn't do. Herodias wouldn't do it. What account will you give? Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. You know that this preacher will one day give account before God. All pastors, all preachers will. It's an awesome thing to consider that one day I will stand before God and I will give account of people that I've pastored, people that I have preached to. Even if it was one time, I give an account to how I rightly divided this book. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, that's not talking about only pastors, but I believe parents are also included in this, because you have authority over your children. We stand before God, we will stand before God and give an account of how we led them, but also we'll give an account of how they obey, how they follow God and His Word. Your preacher will one day give an account before the throne of God about you. I'll have to give an account. There are many of whom this morning that I can give a faithful accounting of in the past and today and in the future. There's people that listen and people that follow God's Word. And I can give an account of joy that they follow the Lord and that they love the Lord and they try to do what's right. Then there have been others, and there will be others in the future, which I cannot give a good account. I'll have to give those accounts with tears and weeping. Lord, I'm afraid they didn't make it. I tried to show them your word, but they wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey your word. They wouldn't have faith in your word. I'm sorry they went astray. I tried to stop them, but I couldn't. They wouldn't listen. I'll stand before my God and say, Lord, will you forgive them? Just like Moses said, Lord, forgive Miriam for her sin. Heal her now. You know what God did? That is a day that I think of often. You know what? It's not a light thing to stand up here and be a preacher. It's not a light thing. Some people take the pulpit lightly. It's not a light place. people's lives are forever affected by what is preached here. People's lives are also forever affected by how they take the preaching. As I stand, I'll stand before God as a husband and a father and a pastor before God. I'll stand and give account of how my children, how I led and taught my children. I want to stand before my God and be able to give a faithful account of my sons, that they listened and they did right and that they loved God and that they were serving Him. But there's some here today, their hearts are broken, and now you're not going to be able to give that good account. And it wasn't necessarily your fault either. You tried, but people have their own decisions to make. What account will you be able to give? What account will you be given before God? Good or bad? Herod will stand before God as a lost person. He might have gotten saved. I don't think he ever did. The Bible doesn't record it. But he'll stand before God, judged for what he did to John the Baptist, killing off the preacher. What account will you give? What account will I be able to give of you before our Lord? That's a weighty day. It's a day we can look forward to if we're doing what's right. Amen? That we can give account. I believe Sunday school teachers, you're going to stand before God. You're getting an account for your class. For how you taught them. For how they obeyed. That's a weighty thing. Because some people think Sunday school teachers aren't that important. There's one job second only to the preacher in the church. That's a Sunday school teacher. And the children's ministry teacher. The teen leader. Because you have such a, you are training the future. So this morning, what account will you give? What account before God will you be able to give of people that have been under your authority? What about the pastor, the parents that roasted the preacher every Sunday and their kids went astray? And stand before God. So, what account do you have to give for this son? Oh Lord, they didn't make it. But this daughter, oh Lord, she didn't make it either. And this son, and this son, and this daughter, oh Lord, they all didn't make it. And the Lord says, why? And with shame, they hang their heads because Lord, I spoke against the preacher. I spoke against the pastor. I spoke against the evangelist. I spoke against the missionary because I didn't want to give up my sin and I've lost it all. And give an account of shame. Let that not be said of anybody in here today. It doesn't have to be the truth. It doesn't have to be what happens. You can change it. My prayer is not true of anyone in here today, but if it is, you can change it. There's hope. Amen. We can be faithful. There's hope. There's a return from it. With all sin, with all things, there's a return. And God can bring you to it today. There is a return. There is a forgiveness. There is a going forward. There's hope. But there's still consequences. Maybe Herod went and he wept and he cried and said, oh God, forgive me for what I've done. Did it bring John the Baptist back? No. Many parents have wept and cried and wept tears and they prayed. And but does that bring your kids back? Sometimes it does. We thank the Lord there's answered prayer, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's too late. Change before it's too late. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray to you, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, Lord. And you know that I love these people. And Lord, I know so many parents here love their children dearly. And Lord, I'm not aware of any problems in the church right now. And I don't think there are any, Lord. But oh, that we would take this lesson and put it in the back of our minds and file it away. Oh, Lord, that we be sensitive to You. That we be sensitive to Your Word, sensitive to Your leading, sensitive to what You would have for us to do. Dear Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct us this morning. That You would work in hearts, and perhaps some here today, they're not sure that they're on their way to heaven. They're not sure if something happened to them right now, that they would go to be in heaven for all of eternity. Dear Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct. I pray that You give those people that aren't sure of salvation boldness to come down this morning to the front so we can take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Perhaps some parents or children, whatever it may be, they have a sin in their life that they've been fostering and had their pet sin. And they've heard preaching about it from this pulpit and others. Maybe it was many years ago they heard it, but they would not take care of it, but hardened their heart against Your Word. I pray today that You would bring them to the altar today, that they would seek forgiveness, that they would seek restoration, that they, dear Lord, would not harden themselves against Your Word once again. Work in hearts, dear Lord, we pray Thy blessing and help in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.